God is good, amen. I'm excited with what God is doing in our midst. God is just challenging us as to what God is doing in our midst. Hallelujah. Some years ago, if you go to Facebook and register yourself, you need to key in your name, your age, or rather your date of birth. And then you have a pick of your gender, male or female, right? And then after a while, they decided these two options not enough. So they came up with 58 options for you to pick. Okay, and sometime last year, I think, they decided that 58 is not enough. So they left a blank. Fill in the blanks. You can fill in anything you like, you know. So now, if you go into Facebook and you register yourself, or you want to change anything on your profile, your gender is just one blank space, fill it, whatever you like. Okay, so you can type in Proton Saga, you know, and you'll still be accepted. Okay. There's this issue that has been going around in the last, month or so. Last month, U.S. legalized same-sex marriage. And, in fact, just a couple of months ago, someone called me, texted me, and said, if a gay comes to your church, what would you do? Okay? What's going to happen to him? I know a friend and may be looking for a church. So, give the answer. What I would do. And in the last couple of weeks, many people have asked me this question. And so, I felt that there is a need to, prepare ourselves. Also, to equip ourselves. So, coming back to this whole issue of gay marriage and, putting, rainbow filters over your profile picture. What does the Bible say about all that? What is our stance as a church? We need to understand, I'm going to give you a very general overview, and there are certain things that we need to understand, and this not only applies on this, whole issue of gay marriage and stuff like that, but it applies to almost everything that we have around here. Number one is that God never changed. The Bible tells us that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changed. And you go back to creation, God created Adam and Eve, man and woman. God created Adam and Eve. Someone once said this, He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Right? So, man and woman, He created them, and God gave marriage. He instituted marriage. And His decision on that has not changed. His decision is not subject to reviews by man nor by any court that is man-made. Man did not define marriage. God did. Man did not define marriage. And therefore, man cannot and has no right to redefine it because it all originated from God. God has not changed. There was once in the Bible, you read this in Genesis chapter 19, where two angels came in the form of a form of men, and visited a person by the name of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And these angels came to warn him that these two cities are going to be destroyed because of the perversion that was going on. And while these guys were in the house of Lot, the men in the community actually came, knocked on his door and said, you know, who are these two guys? Bring them out. We want to have sex with them. Okay? And God judged Sodom and Gomorrah because of their perversion. You can read that throughout scripture. I'm going to just pick one verse, and that's in Jude, because it mentions this very clearly. Jude verse 7, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. And so God judged these two cities because of the sexual perversion that was going on. So number one, God never changed. Number two, God has set the standard. He is the one that defines what is right and what is wrong. He is the one that defines what is sin. The Bible tells us that sin, the word sin, basically means to miss the mark. To miss the standard. Missing God's standard. That is what sin is. And God has set a standard for every single one of us. And with that standard, it is necessary for man to come to God through repentance. There's no other way to come to God except through repentance at the foot of the cross. Meaning to say that we need to come and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, acknowledging that He is the one, He is the only one that can save us from our sin. There's no such thing as, God, will you accept me into heaven just as I am? Quote unquote. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that repentance must then lead to a life of sanctification. Meaning to say that a life that is set apart for God. A life that is lived out for God. And so, God sets the standard by which we can come to Him and can be accepted, and that is only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been asked many times and been told many times, but that's who I am. I'm like that. And if I'm like that, then doesn't God accept me the way I am? What is right and what is wrong? Who sets the standard? We as a church must come to the point to know and receive, believe the fact that Jesus, God is the one who sets that standard. Everything that we do must be based upon the Word of God. Is adultery sin? Yes. How about divorce? You know, many times people say that, how come you are so hard on the gays? But when divorce happens, it's close one eye. And I think we as a church need to be consistent throughout. There's a difference with the person. There's a difference between the person and the act or the behavior. Many times we are accused by saying, if you say that means you don't love the person now, how do you show God's love? Right? And we need to learn how to differentiate between that person and the act or the behavior. We must love, receive, show mercy and grace, show God's love to that person, at the same time not approving, not accepting that act. We need to come to say that it is and it must be based on the Word of God. Turn with me to John chapter 8. And I want to read this passage so that we learn how to set a foundation of what the Lord is doing in our lives in all areas that we may face. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach. Verse 3. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question to trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Now this story is very interesting. It begins with, you know, Jesus, he's in the temple courts and he's teaching the people. And all these Pharisees and the leaders of the law, so to speak, brought a woman to him, and they said, you know, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery. What shall we do?" Now the Bible tells us clearly that this was a test. Until today, it's a mystery, you know. You catch this woman in the act of adultery, but the guy is not around. Where's the guy? Okay, obviously, there's a certain amount of injustice and biasness that's going on here. Alright? So they pull the woman, caught in the act, the guy, don't know where, brings this woman to Jesus to test him, to see how he would respond. And then, the interesting thing happens, he stoops down and he begins to write on the floor. The Bible doesn't really tell us what he writes. Most scholars say there's a high possibility that he begin to, you know, write down the Ten Commandments. And all these guys, the Pharisees, are impatient. They're getting impatient because Jesus is, you know, he doesn't say anything. He just stoops down and he writes on the ground. And they get impatient and they begin to press him. "So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And then he gets up and he just says a very simple thing. "Those of you who don't have seen one, throw first." In a sense, he was saying, if you want to throw, throw the stone. If you want to stone her, go ahead. But, hey, check your heart. Check your heart. And then he goes down. He just says, you know, one phrase, and he goes down. He continues writing. And these guys standing around, perhaps with stones already in their hand, and it's not little pebbles, okay? In those days, they really throw stone, carry as big as you can. They begin to drop walk away from the oldest to the youngest. Oldest, why? Maybe because they realize they got more sin in their life. They look at their life and, okay, can't do this. You walk away, one by one. Until every single person has walked away, and there's Jesus there still writing on the ground, and there's this woman who obviously has sinned, caught in adultery, standing there. And Jesus says this. He says, "Woman, where are they?" He obviously knew the answer, huh? But the important thing, he says this: "Has no one condemned you?" The woman said, "No." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn." Now, if these guys that were standing around, we don't know how many of them there were, felt guilty because of the sin in their lives and walked away. Now Jesus, you need to remember that he's without sin. So if anybody can throw a stone, it would be him. But then he says, "I don't condemn you." And what's important is not that, but what comes after that. After that, Jesus says this, "Now go and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more." And so Jesus didn't say, "Nobody condemn you, that's fine, I don't condemn you, I accept you just the way you are." He didn't say that. He says, "Go and sin no more." There is grace involved, but yet at the same time, there's the acknowledgement that sin is present and it needs to be dealt with. And Jesus showed his compassion at the same time, encouraged, urged, and even commanded this woman to sin no more. Sin is sin. We need to recognize God's standard. God is gracious, and his standard is that we need to come before him through the cross and say, "I need to repent." That's how we come to Jesus. I come to God through Jesus. But that process begins at the cross and it continues until we see him again in glory. It is the process of being set apart, being sanctified to be more and more like him, to sin less and less. Go and sin no more. And so when issues like this come up, we need to come and recognize that there is a difference between the person and the act. Grace, Jesus saying, "I don't condemn you." But yet at the same time, Jesus saying, "This is sin. Deal with it." And the only way that we can deal with that is coming and recognizing the foundation is in the Word. We need to first come out by faith. You know, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it is with an understanding and then saying, "I'm going to step in by faith. I don't really know what it's like, but I'm going to step in by faith. I'm going to believe that the Word of God is true. I'm going to believe that Jesus Christ can change my life. I'm going to believe that he is the one that gives me salvation. I don't really understand it, but Jesus said it, and that's faith." And then we take that step and say, "God, I've lived my life in sin, and I need a Savior. Come into my life." We jump in by faith. And any person that comes and says, you know, that's just the way I am. We need to encourage them to look at the word and say, we need to jump in by faith, because that's the only way transformation can take place. By faith, receiving Jesus Christ. As we talk about this, I don't want to go at length. I don't think this is a place. I don't want to go at length to, you know, try to argue every single situation out. We just need to understand that whatever is out there in this world, it's not going to get better and better. In the sense that it's not going to be more and more biblical, as in following God's ways. Because the Bible does tell us that the devil is, you know, the world is in the system, runs by the system of the evil one. It's going to get worse and worse. We as believers need to learn how to stand firm and know that His word never changed. God never changed. And sometimes it's tough. And so when I receive a text like that, what are you going to do? Should I send this person to your church? I will say, come. That's my reply. Come. We will welcome the person here. Come. Free to come. And then this person texts me and says, will you tell the person to leave? I said, no, I won't tell the person to leave. Will you tell the person, you know, that this is sin? I said, of course I will. I will tell the person what the Bible says. But at the same time, they are still welcome to come. And we need to learn how to love the person. And yet at the same time, be firm to stand on the word of God. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught by saying, if you love them, means you accept whatever they are doing. No. There are two different things altogether. Okay, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't run away from people who live in sin, who proclaim that they are gays, or, you know, adulterous, or whatever it is. Let's learn to love them. But at the same time, ask God for wisdom to learn how to stand and to learn how to share what the Word of God says. Amen. We are living in the end times. And the Bible actually does say it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get tougher and tougher. And it basically just means this. You need to be stronger and stronger. You and I need to stand firmer, if there's such a thing, on the Word of God. Stronger on the Word of God. Go and sin no more. But before that, no one condemns you. I don't condemn you. Very often it's very difficult for us to balance the two. It's very easy to say, oh, you sinner. I don't have anything to do with you. So easy. So easy to be what a lot of people call Bible bashers. You know what that is? You know, we take the Bible and we wreck. Every time you think of doing that, think of the stone that you hold in your hand. In this case, the Bible that you hold in your hand. Throw the Bible at people, right? And ask the Lord to help us reflect upon our lives. Say, God, where do I stand? Help me to be more and more like you. The thing is, the moment we say that, Then we learn how to say, let me show God's love. And at the same time, saying, go and sin no more. And helping that person out. And as I say this, I know we have friends. We have schoolmates, classmates. We have colleagues. Maybe even relatives that struggle with some of these issues. How do we learn to show God's love at the same time to lead them to the way of righteousness and bring them to exercise faith? That is the foundation. That is the basis. To be able to challenge them and say, hey, come on. Jump into the Word because it will change your life. A lot of times people are scared. You know, there are many Christians I know that say, you know, I believe in the Word of God, but this is one area I struggle with. They say this almost word for word, lah. This is one area I struggle with. I cannot reconcile because I feel a certain way. And I say this, you gotta let your feelings, keep your feelings aside. I'm not saying that those feelings are not real. And first of all, respond by faith. Because when we respond by faith, then God teaches us how we should feel. Because if we respond by how we feel, how many of us will go around starting to bash each other up? Because a lot of times we feel angry, right? And we feel like, you know, putting somebody's face into the wall. We cannot live like that. We need to act by faith and say, God, what does faith teach me? How does faith teach me how I should respond? In terms of how I feel. We may feel angry. The Bible says, angry, that's fine. Just don't dwell on it, right? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. But how we respond will be different. I want to pause for a moment right now, while we are talking about this. Maybe, you know, there are certain people that come to mind. I want us to pause for a moment and I want you to shoot a prayer to the Lord right now. Shoot a prayer to the Lord for maybe your classmate, your schoolmate, your colleague. And it may not just be a gay issue, right? It could be something else. Perhaps they're bold about it. And you know that it is against the Word of God. And maybe you know friends who are Christians, but they struggle with some of these issues. Shoot a prayer to the Lord right now and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me be that friend who is able to say, I want to show you God's love. But at the same time, Lord, would you help me say this as well? Go and sin no more. In other words, encourage the person to live by faith. Would you pray for that person right now, or that persons that come to mind? And ask the Lord to use us as channels of blessing. Ask the Lord to use us to reflect the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Perhaps there are some of us here, you know, you're new to church, you're new to the Word of God. And if you're here and you're new, maybe this whole issue of faith is just tingling in your senses right now. Don't really know what that means. But the Word of God says this, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith to be able to understand who God is. maybe your life has been, well, just go and do whatever, just follow. But you don't really know who God is. Don't really understand. And you want to explore who God is. Then my challenge to you is this. Jump in by faith. Because when you do that, something happens to your life. God meets us. God always responds when we have faith. He always responds to us. And if you feel that you need to jump in, would you talk to someone today? Would you say a prayer to the Lord right now? As the rest are saying prayers for their friends, would you say a prayer for yourself? And say, God, I need to jump in by faith. Please show me what that means. I want to know Jesus. I want to know who you are, God. Help me jump in by faith. Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you, God. You are alive. You are alive in us. And right now, we give you thanks because you hear every single one of our prayers. You hear the prayer for all of our friends, our colleagues, our classmates, Lord, who may be going through certain issues. Father, we have to confess, and we want to confess that, Lord, at some point, even now, you know, we are unworthy. We are seen as just the same. But Lord, your grace fills our life, and we are thankful, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you will teach us to stand upon your word. And whatever we are going through, Lord, to be able to say, God, your word stands, and we will live it out. And Father, we thank you that you have heard our prayer, our humble prayer for our friends. And Lord, that you would speak to them as well. Pour forth your grace upon their lives, O God, that they may see you. And Father, we pray, O Lord, that you would give us the opportunity, Lord, the opportunity to speak life into each one of them. Lord, we know that you have come that we may have life to the full. Not just life, but life to the full. Abundant life. Father, so very often we fall short. And we pray, O God, that you will lead us to experience that abundant life that you have promised. Lead us, O God. Lord, for the times that we have been dry and there's no abundance, so to speak, in our lives, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would come and fill us once again. Your word has said that when we pray and we ask, Lord, there will be springs of living water flowing. Father, we ask, Lord, for a fresh revival right now, flowing in our lives. Fresh water. Water that comes from heaven, flowing in our lives. Right now. We want to experience you like never before. We want to see you like never before. And so, Father, we pray right now, as we stand upon your word by faith, we will encounter you in a whole new dimension. A new way. Lord, to be able to stand firm and say, this is sin, sin is sin. But yet at the same time, experiencing your grace in such a powerful and mighty way. Help us to have the courage, the boldness, the faith to be able to do that. Even right now. To be able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.